Hi everyone, Dr. Goyal here from Peak Human Labs, and today I have my close friend Neeraj Jain here, and we want to talk to you about testosterone. When is the right time to replace it? What are the things you should be considering if you are thinking about going on testosterone? I think you're the right person to kind of help me with this conversation.
So, you know, we know about hormone replacement therapy for women,
yeah,
but men also go through a similar change, I guess.
Yeah, you know, we call that andropause. So andros, androgens, like that's the type of class of these molecules. And pause, yeah, pause.
Pause.
Exactly. Just like menopause, but it's for women, but it's...
Although it's not really a pause, it's really a stop,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. For women, it's a stop. But for men, it's not even a full pause, because what happens for men, it's a decline. Whereas for women, they completely stop their production of these hormones. But, you know, a man could father children into their 80s and 90s. There's really no reason...
So I have a few questions.
Yeah.
First of all, what are the impacts of this? Like how would I know that my testosterone is declining?
Yeah. So almost everybody is declining. There's no question. Okay. You are not the same as you were when you were 25. And it's unfortunately, but that's the reality. But some people just have, you know, they started with higher levels. So by the time they're 50, it's not that they're still fine. Right. But generally, if you start noticing you have like lack of motivation, you're more tired, you don't have that kind of oomph, like that thing to get up in the morning and attack the world, that's testosterone. You find that you can't put on muscle as easily as you used to. You know, you're putting a little bit more fat around your belly than you used to do that.
Okay.
That's also less testosterone.
And really we're comparing to what it was like before, right?
Exactly. Like what you were before.
Not comparing to the general population or something.
Yeah, everyone's a little different, but yeah, I think it's a comparison to yourself.
So theoretically, hypothetically, let's assume that I might be putting on a little bit here, right? Let's just assume that it could happen. What would I do next? Would I get some kind of test how would I know that it's actually testosterone and not just, you know, Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah. Yeah, so basically you'd go to your doctor. Again, everything here, we suggest you go to your doctor. Don't just act on my advice. So go to your doctor and have a blood test done. And testosterone in the blood, pretty good test, normally done first thing in the morning, because that's when the testosterone spike happens.
Okay.
So we normally tell you, go get your blood test done in the morning, fasting, and let's see what the levels are like, and you know, you get a sense of where you're at. And normally we look at free testosterone, because that's the actual amount of testosterone that's available to the tissues. So there's total testosterone, and then there's free testosterone.
So total includes what's in the tissues already?
It includes protein-bound testosterone that's not available for use by cells. So we do recommend you get the free testosterone level. And that range is about, you know, let's say 300 to 800 is kind of a considered a normal range, somewhere in there.
So you mentioned earlier that, you know, some people may start higher, like just genetically higher.
Yeah.
So then, you know, if I go to get a blood test, am I looking at the change in testosterone, or am I just looking at the absolute amount?
Well, we don't have your previous numbers, unfortunately. Like usually we won't have previous numbers on a person. Like, you know, so it would be great if we had their number from 10 years ago.
Right.
But usually we don't. So we kind of just look at the number and we can see, okay, are you at the low end of normal? Are you below the range, which does happen as well? And generally what I see is people are at the low end of normal.
Okay.
Which means that they were probably, again, at the higher end of normal before, which kind of makes sense. And then, again, it's very much a clinical decision where we look at the person. They tell us, hey, I'm feeling these symptoms. We're going to have to just, it's more like a trial.
Okay.
Let's consider doing a testosterone replacement and let's see what happens.
Okay. And so what is that? Like, is that a pill or is it some?
There used to be a pill formulation where you could take it testosterone orally, but there seemed to be so much what we call first pass effect by the liver that would remove this testosterone from your body. So the pill version doesn't work well, but injections is generally what people like to do.
Okay.
So it's usually once or twice a week injections, and otherwise it's topical, like a gel or a cream.
Oh, sorry, why would anyone pick an injection over topical? You know I don't like needles.
Yeah, so there are people like you who want to do topical and gel like me. That too, I would potentially use that too. But it's a daily thing. So whereas, you know, that some people don't want to bother about something daily.
Okay.
You know, you got
to
like...
But is it more effective to do the injection or is it...
No, I think it's generally okay. It's going to absorb, but... you know, when you're doing a topical, you don't exactly, you know,
oh, it's harder to
the variation in your dosage could happen.
Okay.
Whereas that won't happen in an injection.
Right.
And then, you know, when you do an injection, you have a big spike in testosterone levels for that day, and then it gradually levels off till your next injection. So my sense is people feel that. They feel the testosterone rush. They kind of like that rush.
Right.
Whereas, like, when you're doing a daily cream, you're not feeling that.
It's just like a slight baseline.
It's a more steady improvement. So maybe it's more physiological. It's actually beneficial to do a daily. Like, it actually does make more sense to me. But people like the testosterone injection. They don't care about the needles.
And how much research has been done on this? I know for women, there's been considerable amount of research. But for men, like, there must be side effects or some downsides to this.
No, actually, but you know, the studies look pretty good. Let's do that for next talk. We'll actually go through some studies where they looked at what's the risk of heart disease for people who've had testosterone. It looks like they may have had decreased heart disease for people who took testosterone. But doesn't seem to be any real concern. Really, the issue is that it will, when you take testosterone, it will suppress your own testosterone.
Your own production.
So, you know, usually this is done in cycles. And sometimes after a cycle, what we do post-cycle therapy, we give medications to stimulate your own testosterone. Now, this may not matter to somebody who's in their 50s that's never going to have a kid again and is going to be on testosterone the rest of their life. It doesn't really matter. But if you're like in your 40s or even potentially in your late 30s and you're taking testosterone, you don't want to necessarily mess up your own endogenous testosterone production.
Right.
So I think those are some of the concerns we have. The other issue is that everyone's metabolism of testosterone is different. So some people convert to estrogen much more than others based on their genetics. In those types of cases, they may have certain side effects from testosterone that other people won't have. So for example, like if you convert to estrogen a lot, you have a risk of getting gynecomastia, which is like, you know, just some nipple breast development, breast bud development. And you may see that on some guys. So we want to be on top of that.
We don't want, there's no guy that really wants that. Really.
No. And so we want to make sure we give estrogen blockers to make sure that we're preventing anything like that happening. Because once that happens, you pretty much need to have a surgery to remove that. And then apart from genetics, the other aspect that influences testosterone to estrogen conversion is the amount of fat on your body. So your fat cells contain an enzyme that basically promotes the conversion of testosterone to estrogen.
Oh, wow.
So in people who are have more fat on them or more obese, they're going to convert more to estrogen. That's why you see men who are more overweight tend to have actually like breast development because they're converting their testosterone.
I thought it was just the fat just getting stored there as well. It's estrogen thing. Wow.
It's estrogen is there as well. So those are the things. And then also people who like, let's say if they're worried about losing their hair, testosterone, if you're converting to DHT, you will have an increase in hair loss.
Oh.
So there you may want to take some things to like prevent that from happening. So there's a couple of little nuances. And if you have a risk of prostate cancer.
Right.
And if you have any, you know, if you're the one who's converting to those toxic metabolites from DHT, then again, you'd want to take steps to prevent those metabolites from sticking around and potentially causing prostate cancer. So
certainly not something you need to discuss with your doctor.
It's not innocuous. It's not like, hey, go to the pharmacy and I want testosterone. Right. No. Like, okay. I think that it is a hormone. It has effects. You know, there are things, people's personalities can change.
Oh, wow.
They can become depressed. They can have road rage or they can have rage.
Wow.
So, you know, if, again, people taking too much, it's a concern as well. You know, I've seen it happen. So it's a complex situation, but definitely, worthwhile for a lot of people because just like, you know, women not living past menopause, I mean, I think now things have changed. Same, men are living a long time.
Right.
And, you know, why should you have, like, you know, substandard hormones?
Right.
You know, why should you accept that? Because you're in the gym all the time working out and all this. And if you can't get, you know, the results you want because you don't have the same hormone levels, it's a different. The other thing I forgot to mention is libido. So testosterone will have an impact on libido as well.
Positive.
A positive impact. You know, that's why people have the morning erection. because testosterone spikes in the morning.
Spike, right.
And so that's a concern. So if you're noticing you don't have the morning erection, then that's maybe you need testosterone. It may also be a blood flow issue as well. But those would be the signs. So again, if you take sometimes too much testosterone, you could actually make your libido decreased as well. So I mean, it's not a complete.
So
yes,
I mean, it sounds like something that, you know, men over 50 might want to consider, at least talk to their doctors about.
Yeah.
And see if it's right for them.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there's a lot more we can talk about this, and maybe next time we'll talk about, you know, what are some natural ways to boost testosterone? What are, you know, some of the studies?
Yeah, we'll just do that. I'll bring up the studies next time. And then also some of the supplements like Tongkat Ali and you know, ashwagandha and these things that people are taking. You see a lot of like the stuff in health food stores, testosterone boosters. Do they work? What's the science behind them? Happy to talk about that next time.
All right, perfect.
All right, everyone. Thank you. Hope you enjoyed. If you like this video, please subscribe on YouTube. Send us comments. And also you can go to peakhuman.ca and join our membership, because this is a completely self-funded exercise and you could support us by doing that. Thank you very much.